You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic podcast produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime and a man who I am sure was not buying people drinks on the Yahoo Sports account, Marcus Vandenberg.
Are you talking about Dan Wetzel?
Yeah, talking about your boy Wetzel.
The saddest tweet ever.
I wish we had a team here in Virginia. Second of all, I wish you had a reporter out at some hotel in Virginia buying people drinks, because I probably would have taken him up on that offer.
I didn't talk to Wetzel to see how that turned out, but I did see later that night he was trending in Buffalo, so I think he might have been pretty popular.
I think the last I heard when he was on Levitard's show, he had nobody for like an hour, and then once the tweet started hitting, the Bills Nation came in full force. So I don't know how big that tab's going to be.
I'm glad I don't have to worry about that one.
We'll save the football talk for a second down. I guess the people want to know, Marcus, how have you been? It's been a week since we talked to you. Well, a week since the people have heard you on this show. You and I have talked just the other night.
Yeah, we talked wrestling. Surprise, people.
Yeah, there will be no wrestling talk on this show,
Zero.
Even though it is the weekend before SummerSlam, or a couple days before SummerSlam. There'll be no wrestling talk on this one.
I lie. Because I've been talking to your podcast co-host this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Would that be one Brian Mann?
It would be.
I mean, I've got so many podcast co-hosts.
I know. I already talked to Felix, so it'd be Brian.
Yeah, Brian hit me up. It's funny. Brian hit me up with the news, because we were going to switch the days to record Review and Impact. But yeah, it was funny because moments after you had hit me up on Facebook, I get a text from Man like, "What's your schedule like on Friday?"
Yeah. So by the time this show is out, and assuming that everything has gone through and no one bailed out, Seth Rollins came by the studios on Friday at Yahoo, and since I'm out in L.A. and Brian is in New York, Brian was the point person for this, so we should have a couple clips up, at least on the site. One movie clip that features Seth Rollins doing some zany movie wacky stuff that Brian came up with, and then the rest will be all wrestling related, including stuff about Jon Stewart, about the Shield breakup, and who's going to win at SummerSlam, so...
Conducting this interview?
I am not. I sent my questions over to Brian, and Brian is going to conduct this.
Okay, because I was just wondering, will certain topics be off the table?
Like what? Like nude Instagram photos?
Yes.
I figured it might not be timely, so I didn't put it down on my list of questions.
That's true. There's no reason to start the thing off on the bad foot.
Yeah, I was like, let's not go the big nasty route right away.
Yeah, that would have been Nasty's second question after. What do you think about SummerSlam? So he gives his little answer. So how'd your dick end up on Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh, but that's another show for another day, Marcus. Other than talking about wrestling on Pipe Bomb Radio on Tuesday night, and also engineering or hooking up this whole Seth Rollins deal, how's your week been?
Not too bad. I'm headed to Disneyland this weekend, so that's a plus.
Any reason in particular?
No, we've been talking about buying a season pass for months and months, and then the wedding came along, and then we put it off. So now that summer's over, we're going to get a season pass, and decided to just make a weekend out of it because the Blue Jays are coming to town. So we're going to check them out against the Angels and just hang out, and then SummerSlam on Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, I think I have to work this Sunday, so I'll probably get home in time to check out most of SummerSlam since it is 4 hours.
Yeah. Five, you got the pre-show.
Yes, I have to call up my cable provider in nefarious means and watch the second half of the show. But, yeah, other than that, man, I've just been on a pretty good streak of working. Like, I think this is day 4 out of 6 in a row.
Oof. Do you get overtime after day 5? Like 10 and a half?
I get overtime after 40. So they're very, let's just say, I won't say cheap. Let's say they're very wise with their money, frugal, you could say, because they seem to know exactly when to send me on break so that by the time this week is over, I'll have like 39.5 hours.
It's funny how that works.
So there will be no overtime. Funny how whenever the clock starts ticking, it's like, you know what? Labor's really high, Nate. You worked hard today. Go ahead and enjoy the rest of the evening.
Enjoy that smoke break, Nate.
Yeah, well, I'm not even really... I think the last day I took a smoke break was... It might have been Tuesday. Yeah, because I'm in the process of quitting. I'm switched to the digital cigarettes, if you will, the e-cigarettes. So, you know, I'm trying to get my freedom back like Steven Dorff and run shirtless on the beach. So I've been consuming the electronic cigarettes, and they seem to work everywhere except work. Like, work is the big problem.
Because of the stress, or?
Yeah, I'd say because, the e-cigarettes work when I'm at home or when I, if I'm after a meal, and after I've had a beer or something like that, because those seem to be like the biggest connections. Like you eat a meal, you want your cigarette. You drink your beer, you want your cigarette. And the e-cigarette works fine in those scenarios. But at work, there's just something about leaving the building and going outside and smoking and being away from the chaos.
I can see that.
And even if I walk outside and smoke the e-cigarette, it's not the same. Like there's... work brings the cravings out more. So that's the next hurdle. It's like, how can I not smoke cigarettes at work short of cussing out everybody in this particular establishment? End up being that scene from Half Baked. Fuck you, you're cool.
Fuck you, I'm out.
They'd be like, all we have to do is prep some chicken. So, but yeah, it's been a busy week for me, but I am looking forward to the weekend, maybe catching some SummerSlam and watching some of this preseason football, which I am not really interested in, but there was one man this weekend that got me reinvigorated. I'm sure we'll talk about him in second down, and that is one Timothy Tebow, Marcus.
Oh, it's not Michael Sam?
No, it's not Michael Sam, surprisingly, but it's Tim Tebow, the most electrifying man in preseason.
I can't wait till he gets cut.
you got the Disneyland thing going, and other than that, no big trips to Vegas, none of that stuff popping off?
No. You know, when football starts, I tend to be in the office a lot more, and I don't take a lot of vacation during football season just because it's pretty much all hands on deck on the weekend. So outside of a trip in October to DC for NABJ, that might be it until the wintertime at least.
Oh, what's going on in D.C. in October?
NABJ board meeting.
Very
exciting.
Right. You're unofficial now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might have to hook up in October.
If not, then October might be easier because December I have to go back for NABJ's Hall of Fame dinner / event is in December, but it's on a Wednesday night, so that's a little tricky.
And that's where Tony Brown will be honored.
Yes, along with Stuart Stott. So there's at least someone I know. I shouldn't say that. I know Tony Brown, but at least someone who I think...
You do know Tony Brown, personally.
Not personally, no. I mean, no as in, like, the name.
Okay, I was going to say, how does it take this long to get the Marcus Vandenberg Tony Brown story?
No, there is no Tony Brown story. Maybe there will be after December, but there's not one at the moment.
Maybe you find out Tony Brown really isn't black. That'll be the shocking twist.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we'll talk about that in 7-4.
What is going on in the world? You can't even trust Tony Brown.
But yeah, two trips in one October, one December, for sure.
Yeah, we'll have to check our schedules and then see if we can make that happen, because I should have my vehicle by then, so I can make the trek up to D.C. It's only a couple hours away.
Just in time. Are your vehicle just in time for your pay-per-view?
Yeah, Bound for Glory. It depends if your conference is the same time as, or if your board meeting is the same time as Bound for Glory. That's a tough decision, Marcus.
Well, considering this might be the last pay-per-view, but all has been quiet on the TNA front. I haven't heard any. Well, it helps that they're not taping, but they've been extra quiet this past couple weeks. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, it's like those old movies. Like, it's quiet. Too quiet.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you cut to the TNA office and everybody's in a white jumpsuit wearing sneakers.
Yeah, I mean, did C. Carter just stayed off Twitter, I'm guessing, and hasn't said anything crazy? Kurt Angle still hurt. Nothing new there. No one's been fired or let go. All 8 wrestlers that are left, so... Yeah, it's been quiet.
Yeah, and EC3's favorite in one of my tweets last night.
Oh,
I got that going for me. Yeah, somebody was trying to give him a compliment, though, saying that he's really grown into this role. But the fan said, you know, you really grew into this role. And EC3, being the heel that he is, was like, grew? What do you mean, grew? And I tweeted, your new catchphrase should be, I am Groot, playing off of I am Groot from the Guardians of the Galaxy. And like, maybe you can even get a Marvel tie-in, # you're welcome, # review and impact. And he liked it. So I was like, okay, good way to end the evening.
You know what I didn't like?
What didn't you like?
That EC3 match last night.
Oh, with your man, South African Evan Bourne?
Yeah, I happened to stumble across it just as it was starting, and after about the 100th time they said the name PJ Blatt, I was like, I can't deal with this, I'm turning this off.
You tapped out on the invasion?
I tapped out. Yeah, I'm assuming EC3 won, but I couldn't watch it.
That would be something if this dude just came in off the street and won the world title.
Well, PJ won the other title, right?
The King of the Mountain title.
So this was a title for title match, or not in theory, but did he come out with the King of the Mountain title with him?
Yeah, he still has the King of the Mountain title. It's for whatever it's worth.
Right.
So I'm sure he can get at least $20 from the local pawn shop if TNA goes out of business for that.
Yeah, so we have EC3, PJ Black on Wednesday, and then Friday we have, that's right, he holds both titles. Doesn't make any sense. I was going to say we have another title for title match, but it's just a rematch on Friday between Roderick Strong and Jay Lethal in Philly.
Yeah, a lot of title matches. This is a big week if you're a fan of title matches.
Yeah, and then Sunday, of course, Rollins Cena.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good. But we've already talked our wrestling for
too
the week.
Too much wrestling.
If you want to hear our opinions, go to Pipe Bomb Radio and then check out the show from this past Tuesday, which featured me, Marcus, Felix, and Mike Mills from Booking the Territory. So it was a veritable wrestling summit. Like, you had a Pipe Bomb representative, you had a representative of the law, sort of, kind of, and you had Yahoo Sports in the building.
Yeah.
So you can check that out. But you know what, Marcus? I think it's time to talk football. We've been holding it off long enough. And we've got five questions that we're going to ask this week. But all the questions are going to pale in comparison to your thoughts on one, Timothy Tebow.
Well, I've tried to avoid talking about Tebow for this long, but...
Are you ready for the mania?
Yeah. Enjoy it while you can. It's going to last... until Bobby, week four, and that'll be it.
Well, Marcus may already be sick of talking Tebow, but we are definitely going to get into some NFL news and notes in second down. So don't you go anywhere. Stick and stay. More Kings of Sport right after this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Everyone loves a stranger, but nobody wants the danger. That's why I turn my TV on, I turn my TV on, I turn my TV on, I just turn my TV on, I turn my TV on, I turn my TV on, turn my TV on.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
It's time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your pigskin preview, your gridiron gabfest, and your weekly football focus It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe-to-toe, football.
The old-timers, do you remember their names? Like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane. Bulldog Turner, a man Sam Huff.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, powered by Place to Be Nation. Place to Be Nation is your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest news, articles, opinions, podcasts, whatever you want when it regards the world of sports and pop culture, movies, wrestling, video games. If you want it, they've got it. Place to Be Nation is down with the Kings. You guys are down with the Kings. So get down with PlaceToBeNation.com. And Marcus, as an astute watcher of pop culture, one of the things that has kind of cropped up on the scene in the last 5 years or so from a musical standpoint is the notion of a mashup. So I think we're going to pay homage to that, if you will, and this segment is going to be a mashup of Second Down and I Got Five on It.
It works for me. Nice little combination.
Yeah. It's like Reese's Pieces. Two great tastes that go great together.
Yeah.
So we got five questions here. I was going to say go back and start the segment over, but that's not what this is all about. We keep it real here.
Live, not so live radio.
Yeah. I'll probably just edit this all out later, so yeah. Who knows? It depends on how lazy or motivated I get. So we've got five questions here in regards to the NFL, and I will pose them to Marcus Vandenberg, and he will give me his opinions on these topics. And since we already talked about it in the A block, let's start off with one. Timothy R. Tebow. Tebow Mania is coming back stronger than ever. The man has not played for 2 years, Marcus, but he gets in the third quarter of a preseason game, and fans in Philadelphia, some of the most notorious fans in the world today, are chanting this man's name. What did you make of the spectacle of Tim Tebow this past weekend, Marcus?
I'm so disappointed in you, Philadelphia. I expected better from you guys. You know, the Eagles have three quarterbacks really ahead of Tebow at this point. Bradford, Barkley, and Sanchez. I just don't see Tebow fitting in on this roster as a true quarterback. Maybe they'll work him in as an H-back, but if they're going to do that, I mean, this is the time to do it now. They really shouldn't have this dude out as a quarterback, because I don't think he's better than Matt Barkley. I don't think he's better than Mark Sanchez. So I just don't get what exactly their plans are for Tebow. But he started off great. People got all excited, and then he finished up like Tim Tebow.
Oh, ye of little faith, Marcus Vandenberg.
You've seen the man play. You have faith in him?
I'll tell you what I have faith in, Marcus. I have faith in the fact that this man, he is never going to be a prototypical quarterback. He is never going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. But do I think he is a guy that can win you some games in this NFL? Yes, I do. And the main reason I think he can win you some games is because we've seen him do it. And so while I don't think he's ever going to be a top 10 or even a top 15 quarterback, I think you could do worse than having Tim Tebow as your number one option, and I'm looking at you, Geno Smith.
No, but here's the problem. He did this stuff going on now 4 seasons ago. And he's been out of the league. He was doing broadcasting. So whatever magic in the bottle you had in 2011, that was 2011. We're now 2015. He's 4 years older. He really hasn't improved much on his game. So why would you take the risk and investment on a guy like Tebow?
Well, speaking to that point, Marcus, and here's where I may be able to at least get you to give Tim Tebow a little bit of credit. And I think the most remarkable thing is not what he did on the field, because his stats were just okay. They were average. You know, he did some good plays, did some bad plays, you know, ran in for a touchdown, did the Tim Tebow thing. But I think the most remarkable part about this is, like you mentioned, he was a broadcaster for a year. And, you know, Marcus, I'm not throwing shade on any of your or my colleagues, but broadcasters typically aren't the healthiest dudes. They're on the road a lot. They eat at restaurants. They eat out. They're not really in tune with their physicality. But Tim Tebow, for a guy that, and obviously he's been practicing and training and things like that, but for a guy who hasn't faced live competition for over a year, like I thought he acquitted himself pretty well.
You're all in on Tebow, aren't you?
I'm not delusional about Tebow. I'm not saying Tim Tebow is going to be Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, but I am saying I'd rather have Tim Tebow than Blaine Gabbert or Geno Smith.
Gabbert, no. Geno. Even Geno, no. I mean, you got to finish. Geno finished strong last season.
I tell you what, Tim Tebow wouldn't be not paying back money for his teammates and getting popped in the jaw for it.
That is true.
And if Tim Tebow did get punched in the jaw, he would just turn the other cheek, because that's what Tim Tebow does.
Well, he'd be healed right away. I mean,
like, Father, heal this.
But Tebow sits at 12, 69 yards. What does he know about 69? Ha, ha, ha. Sat three times and four carries of 15 yards and a touchdown, rushing touchdown. So,
yeah, like he was about as average can be, but like he had the sacks on the negative side of the ledger, but he also had the touchdown. He had one pass where he put it exactly where his receiver could get it, which is something you don't see that often from Tim Tebow. So I'm not saying that he could be a great quarterback. I'm not even saying he should be a starter for the majority of the teams in the NFL, but I do think that there is a place in the league for this guy in a league where there are so many suspect quarterbacks.
Well, here's the issue with Tebow, and we saw a little bit of this in New York, is that he isn't exactly good at being the backup, and it's probably not his fault. It's probably the media's fault, but
yeah, I said the media and the fans are more to blame than Tim on that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, you know, the Philly fans are cheering now, but if this was week three and Tebow was the starting quarterback, trust me, they would not be happy. This is not exactly the plan they had in mind in this Chip Kelly explosive offense when you have a guy who struggles to get the ball to your receivers. So it's cute now. Well, it doesn't matter, but if this was, you know, week one, Bradford's your man, and Sanchez is your guy who showed last year at times he was actually adequate, and he actually looked a lot better last year than he did probably ever in New York in terms of just, you know, moving the ball down the field. And it helps when you have receivers who, you know, can catch the ball. So, I you know, if Tebow, say he beats out Barkley, how long will he accept that third quarterback spot on the roster? I don't know.
Yeah, and to your point earlier, though, I don't think it's a matter of would he accept it. I think it's a matter of would the fans keep quiet and let Bradford or Sanchez work with that looming specter of Tim Tebow sitting on the bench.
I think the fan base is smart enough in Philly not to start the bring in Tebow chance. For
you think the fan base in Philly is smart enough? You think Philly fans are rational, Marcus?
I think so, because I think deep down they know that, barring a Bradford injury, he's the guy for the job. If he sucks or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I think if you're making the comparison between Bradford and Tebow, I don't think it's any question, you know, who you would want. But I think Sanchez makes it a little bit more dicey because of his past.
Now, if Bradford, say Bradford got hurt and it came down to Sanchez or Tebow.
Yeah, I think the Sanchez would get a lot less leeway from the fans than Bradford would.
Yeah, so that's where it would become dicey.
So let's go from a team with three or four quarterbacks of varying degrees of averageness to a team with arguably the best quarterback in the game, and that is the Patriots and Tom Brady. And before we talk about the latest news in Deflategate, Marcus, I want to know, have you heard what ESPN's Lester Munson has been saying about this court case from the other day?
I have not, no.
Well, you know, it was, what was it, Tuesday when the judge in this case came down really hard against Roger Goodell in the NFL.
Yeah, this judge is, he's not here for any of this stuff between the NFL and Tom Brady. He's kind of over it.
Yeah, he's definitely like, he's got better things to do. And so the way it was reported was that this was a bad day for the NFL and Roger Goodell and a great day for Tom Brady because the judge was just going in on the NFL. And I was among the people that, you know, reading these reports, I'm like, yeah, Brady's gonna get off. Brady's going to beat this thing. But Lester Munson was on the Dan Levitard show on Wednesday, and he basically said, no, everybody is looking at this all wrong. From his years of being in the courtroom, he said, when you get a judge that specifically has stated that he wants a settlement, that he wants, you know, both sides to meet in the middle, he is going to bang on the side with the stronger case to make them doubt themselves, to make them think, maybe we should settle, to make them kind of say, oh, maybe our case does have some holes and some flaws in it. And so from Lester's perspective, he said what he saw in the courtroom was a judge that wanted these guys to settle, and he was banging on the NFL because he knows they have the stronger case. And if this goes all the way out, Tom Brady is not going to win this thing, and he's going to serve those four games. Which was like just kind of – it's very rare that – something on a sports radio show shocks me, but that was the first I've heard of this thing could go south for Tom Brady in such a strong way. And it's like, I mean, Lester Munson obviously has the credibility. So what do you think when you hear him saying that this could be a case where Tom Brady is fighting uphill?
To be honest, the whole Deflategate thing at this point, I mean, it's gone on so long that I have checked out. And,
you're saying the air's been let out of the story?
Yeah. So, you know, I believe that Brady will serve some portion of that four-game suspension. I don't think it'll be all four games, but I don't see him coming back week one. And at this point, I mean, time's running against them. They need to really decide before week one what they're going to do. So I would tend to lean towards what a guy, was it Lester?
Lester Munson.
Yeah, I would lean towards what Lester Munson has to say because he does have the experience dealing with this stuff. So hopefully they just wrap this up soon because it's a bad look for Tom Brady, and it's even a worse look now for the NFL.
Yeah, and there's something out there. I forget who was reporting it, but there are reports that I've read that they may be working on something where Tom Brady takes a two-game suspension, but he doesn't take it for committing heinous acts in his Deflategate thing. He takes it for obstructing the process of investigating Deflategate, which I think is probably a best-case scenario for all around. But when you've got egos like Brady and like Goodell, and Tom Brady is so adamant that, no, I didn't do it, I'm not going to put my name on it, and Goodell, who is in a position where he really can't afford to lose another case, like, I think they're going to be stubborn and they're going to drag this thing out.
In addition, I mean, don't forget the Patriots still lost the draft pick, and that's probably big picture, that's probably more important than Brady sitting 40
and
games.
And your boy Kraft lost some money.
Yeah, that's least of his concerns.
It's a damn shame when they take Kraft's cheese.
Yeah.
I'm on a roll in this segment.
You're on something.
Speaking of somebody who's on something, thank you for that segue, Brother Marcus. What's up with your man, Robert Griffin III? AKA the best quarterback in the game right now?
That's not what he meant, Nate. Even the media is out here twisting his words around.
Yeah, it's the media. But here's the thing, Marcus. I kind of can see where he's coming from because if you listen to the whole statement, he's not saying that he's, you know, better than Brady or better than Manning. He's saying, you know, at this level, you have to have that confidence that you are the best regardless of what other guys are doing. So from that standpoint, I see what he's saying, but he's probably not the guy who should be saying that right now.
Well, especially after Thursday night where he played less than a quarter against the Detroit Lions, and the Detroit Lions destroyed Mr. Robert Griffin's third.
The Detroit Lions minus Ndamukong Suh. Like, he ain't even there no more.
Yeah, he left the game early with a stinger and a possible concussion. And some of the hits he was taking, it was just like, after the first hit, I would think to myself, if I'm coach, hey, maybe let's just take out Robert, because clearly our offensive line is not blocking for this man tonight. So, but no, the Redskins kept him in for what reasons, I don't know. And eventually, he was knocked out of the game. He was got hit and was out on the field for a few minutes before walking off on his own. So hopefully he doesn't have a serious injury, but not a good week two performance for Robert Griffin.
No, and you mentioned the hits, man. He is one of the few quarterbacks that I actually wince and actually get worried every time he takes a hit, because other than Michael Vick, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback just get blasted the way he does. And part of that is, I think, is the way he plays. But another part that you alluded to is, I'm not sure how good that offensive line is in Washington.
Yeah, it's it wasn't very good last year, and so far this season, in the preseason, I've seen nothing that makes me think that it's going to be any better. So, whoever is the quarterback, if it's Griffin, if he gets hurt, if it's Colt McCoy, they need to head on a swivel, because the defenses will be coming at them.
Yeah, so just a friendly reminder out there to everybody that's going to participate in the Kings of Sport Fantasy Football League, you might want to stay away from Redskins quarterbacks and receivers when we draft.
Yeah. and tight ends, because two of them are hurt too, so.
Yeah, it's not a good look for the Washington Football Club, so. Who'd have thought that the name would be the least problematic thing this offseason?
Yeah.
So, speaking of moves that were made in the offseason, Marcus, I want to take a step back before we get full into NFL mode and analyzing these games and things of that nature, and let's go back to some of the moves that were made in the offseason. You know, we mentioned Ndamukong Suh, DeMarco Murray changed addresses, LeSean McCoy is in a new spot. Who are one or two of the moves, Marcus, that you think will have the most impact as the season begins? And then you can't name Timothy Tebow.
By impact, you mean holding a clipboard and...
hey, nobody holds a clipboard or wears a ball cap like Tim Tebow.
He's a clipboard pro. Biggest impact. Well, prior to the whole Geno Smith thing, I was going to say Brandon Marshall, because that finally gave the Jets a legitimate number one threat. But considering their quarterback situation at the moment,
I would say maybe the most impactful offseason move was your boy IK joining the Jets.
Yeah,
because that changed the whole season.
Yeah, so we can cross out Brandon Marshall, and I, you know, for all the things he has to say about Jay Cutler, he might end up missing his boy Jay very soon, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the answer for New York. But off the top of my head, I'm going to go with LeSean McCoy in Buffalo. I do wonder how Rhett Ryan will use him in his offense, because Rhett is a guy who, you know, loves to pound the ball, and Shady's had a lot of carries in Philadelphia, so I'm not sure how much he has left in the tank at 27. But in terms of a guy who can still be a dynamic player and really, you know, they've had at times with C.J. Spiller there, who's now gone, who's in, I think, New Orleans, they've shown flashes at the running back position between him and Fred Jackson, but to have a true number one running back on that team and with a coach who is big on the run game and big on defense, I think, you know, having a guy like McCoy can really elevate Buffalo to become a 9-win, 10-win playoff-type team this year.
Yeah, I think McCoy is a good pick. I got a couple. I would say the guy that has the potential, at least, to make the biggest impact might be Jimmy Graham in Seattle, because that was a team that was one play away from winning the Super Bowl. Shout out to your boy Pete Carroll. but you add a weapon like Jimmy Graham, a red zone threat, it's just another piece of the puzzle to allow Russell Wilson to mature as a quarterback. So I think Jimmy Graham in that offense will help them, and especially since the rest of the division seems to be imploding, particularly the San Francisco 49ers. I think Jimmy Graham in Seattle is going to make a big impact. And then you mentioned C.J. Spiller. I'd like to see what he can do in New Orleans, because if you think back to when Drew Brees had some of the best success of his career, it was when Darren Sproles was a part of that team.
Yeah.
And I think C.J. Spiller is just like Darren Sproles. He might be faster than Darren Sproles. So I think that'll be a good fit in that offense. Other than that, it's pretty much up in the air. I mean, Ndamukong Suh obviously is going to impact the Dolphins' defense, but I still don't know how good Miami is going to be. Like, everybody in that division other than the Patriots, well, even including the Patriots. The Patriots have questions too, you know, but their question is, when is Brady coming back? Everybody else's question is, how good are we? You know, with the Patriots, you know how good they are once Tom Brady is on that field. Everybody else in that division, your division, I don't know how good they're going to be.
Well, I mean, the Patriots were really the only team who took a step back in the offseason. I mean, everyone else got better. You know, Miami got better adding Sue. Buffalo got better adding McCoy and a new head coach. The Jets got better by adding Marshall and getting Revis back and Cromartie. The Patriots were just losing dudes right and left, especially in that secondary. So I think defensively they had a great season last year, but I think there are definitely some questions about what that defense can do, because they relied a lot on that defense last year. They didn't really outscore teams like they have in the past. So, I mean, Brady's Brady. He'll get you, you know, what you need, but secondary, I don't know. You know, Malcolm Butler's cute and all, but he wasn't, you know, a starter last year. He's now been elevated to a starting corner gig. They still have Patrick Chung at safety and McCourty, but on the other side of that cornerback position is Bradley Fletcher, who from Philly. So I don't know. I think that's the one I just knocked on the Patriots, besides the whole Will Brady play or not.
And let me just say, Marcus, before we move on to our fifth and final question here in second down, if your beloved Jets and the beloved Jets of Eve the Cannon Sanders from the Atomic Podcast don't at least challenge New England this year, in a year where Tom Brady may miss up to four games, in a year where they've lost so many pieces of their puzzle, you might want to just find a new team. Just root for Eli Manning and the Giants and that new contract or something.
No, why is this the make or break year?
Because this is like, if you guys are Wile E. Coyote and this is the Roadrunner, you chase it after him. He's got the flu. He got a bad ankle. He's probably been sipping on some syrup. And he's not as fast as he used to be. He's getting up there in age, and you still can't catch the Roadrunner. You might just want to turn in your black Acme card and give it up and switch to being a vegan.
No, I mean, listen, this is first year for Todd Bowles. Got a new GM. We got a quarterback who can't eat solid foods.
But he can throw shirtless to the neighborhood kids.
Shirtless balls around the neighborhood with eye black on like an idiot. We got a defense that's already been cursed of injuries and suspensions and stupidity. So I don't know. I don't see this as the 8 year for them. I don't know how they're going to respond to Todd Bowles as coach. But I definitely think they're at least headed in the right direction, and that's a start.
Okay. I'll give you a pass on this season. But what I will not give you a pass on, Marcus, is our fifth and final question. You know, whatever we do, I got five on it. The fifth question is always a bit of a wild card. And I think this may be my best fifth question in the history of I Got Five on It.
Uh-oh.
Who, in your opinion, Marcus, was the better video game athlete? Was it Michael Vick in Madden 2004 or Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl?
No QB7, huh?
No QB7. I had to pick the most iconic member of that Tecmo Bowl roster, and while QB7 was pretty beast, he was no Bo Jackson.
I'm doing Bo Jackson. You know, it's tough, but if you YouTube some of the Bo Jackson Tecmo Bowl videos, including the one where the dude, I think, runs back to the one-yard line and then just unleashes Bo Jackson for a 99-yard touchdown and just burns the entire quarter with Bo running around. You can't do that with Mike Vitt and Madden. You just can't. And that's not Mike Vitt's fault. That's just all technology's fault. If technology in the 80s wasn't advanced as it was now in the 2000s. But I'm doing Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Bo Jackson was pretty beast. I mean, like you said, you know, you could run back and forth, up and down the field.
The Bo Jackson Challenge. That's what it was called.
Just moving up and moving down. Like, Tecmo Bowl, when you think about it, still a great game, but the gameplay was not the most sophisticated.
At the time, I guess it was. The fact that it had real players.
Yeah, real players, and it kept QB real 7. Stats.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Bo Jackson was a beast in Tecmo Bowl, obviously. But let's talk about Michael Vick and Madden 2004 for a second, Marcus. Brother had like 90 for his arm power and 99 for speed. The ultimate dual threat. Just people, I remember back in 2004, people would not play you if you picked the Falcons, which was a problem for me because that's my favorite team. And they're like, oh, why are you cheating? Why are you cheating? They're like, don't get mad at me because I got Mike Vick and you stuck over there with Vinny Testaverde. I don't even know if he was in the game in 2004, but
fair guess.
You know, Kurt Warner. I know who he was in the game, so don't get mad at me because my quarterback is mobile and you sitting there with Kurt Warner. But Michael Vick in Madden 2004 was just one of the most unstoppable video game athletes in the history of video game athletes. Like you said, man, Bo Jackson was dominating. Mike Vick, though, and maybe it's a product of the technology that you mentioned, just being able to pull off like a spin move, spinning out of two tackles and running down the sideline, and then just being able to throw on the run, like just things that we hadn't really done in a video game, at least to that level, to that point. You know, it took the right athlete mixed with the technology at the time. So obviously I'm biased, but I'm going to give it to Mike Vick from Tecmo Bowl 2004 by a hair.
Or Madden 2004.
Yeah, I wish there was a Tecmo Bowl 2004.
With 2004 graphics, not 1985 graphics or whatever.
I know there's guys on the internet that he still updates the original Tecmo Bowl cartridge every year with the current rosters of the current players.
Which is odd, but fascinating.
Like, Tim Tebow would probably be a beast in Tecmo Bowl.
He probably would.
It's like he's got the arm strength of Bubby Brister, but the running of Christian Okoye.
The Nigerian nightmare.
Oh, there's some suspect dudes on Tecmo Bowl now that you mentioned it, Marcus. Like, just thinking back to all the players, like, guys that if Madden was around, when Tecmo Bowl was around, there's a lot of guys that were on the rosters that would have been in like the free agent pile. Like Vasa Kahima was a vital part of the Eagles' special team on Tecmo Bowl, but it's like in real life he was cool and all, but he wasn't a star.
Still a great name,
Vasa Kahima.
Yeah.
But yeah. So what team, real quick, before we end this segment? What was your team? Your go to squad in Tecmo Bowl?
I think the 49ers.
Yeah. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers because I liked running more than I did passing. And yeah, we had a decent quarterback with Bubby Brister, with a great name. But the running backs we had, I think it was Barry Foster, am I remembering correctly?
That sounds right.
Barry Foster, and your other running back was none other than ESPN's Merrill Hodge.
That's right.
Hodge was one of the secret weapons. And here's a great way to tie this up, Marcus, to wrap this up with a bow and make everything come full circle. Did you know that I once got into a minor Twitter beef with Merrill Hodge?
That doesn't surprise me. Not because of you, but because Merrill Hodge tends to be a bit of a...
he would. This was probably about 4 years ago, because it was in the midst of the original incarnation of Tebow Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like everybody was picking a side. Like, there was nobody in the middle. Either you hated Tim Tebow or you were on Team Tebow and you wanted him to succeed. Like, there didn't seem to be anybody, especially in the media, that was playing the Switzerland role. And so, obviously, I was on Team Tebow, and Merrill Hodge was anti-Tebow, and he said something. I think he just said, like, you can't win with Tim Tebow, which I responded, well, it looks like they're winning. And we went back and forth for a couple of tweets, and, like, Merrill was getting it. He was actually engaging me, which is just kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's cool and ridiculous at the same time. But at the end of it, I was just like, you know what, Merrill? I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree. But it's all right, man. I still love you at Tecmo Bowl, though. And then he wrote me back. He was like, hey, brother, Tecmo Bowl is something we can all agree on. Thanks.
There you go.
So Tecmo Bowl brought us together. So I think we might have to pose that question to the listeners. That seems like a good question for a question and answer segment. I don't think we've ever asked this question to the listeners at large in terms of your favorite video game athletes.
I don't think we have, no.
So, yeah, we'll post it up, and then if you guys give us some good responses, we'll read them on the show next week. Give us, like, your top three video game athletes, and we'll compare and contrast your questions or your answers. So I think we're going to close up second down / I Got Five on it, Marcus, because we have so much to talk about in segment four.
Yeah.
Marcus, like, we've got the postscript to our earlier conversation about the former Subway spokesperson. We've got a black man who is a white man, maybe, possibly.
Yeah.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg, so keep it locked right here. Don't go anywhere, because you are not going to want to miss the ratchetness that comes up in segment four.
Or these nuts.
See, I was trying to lead you down a path where I was going to throw in a little zinger and then get you to say these who, and they're like, these nuts. But you stepped on the punchline, Marcus.
Premature these nuts.
So stick and stay, because they, yeah, we got more Kings of Sports on the way. So you threw me off with the D's nuts line.
Yeah, see, works every time.
More Kings of Sports right after this. Get down and dirty, cause that's my joint. Ha, we preferably make our point through a nation we build off the musical field or a visual thrill. We do what we feel, any time or place, on stage in your face, orbiting in earth and outer space. Because we rock that shit, we flip that shit. We on some East Coast, West Coast, cosmic shit, some northbound shit, some southbound shit, some overseas London, out of town shit. Rocking the joint, rocking the jam. Turn that shit up, play it again, cause that's the joint, that's the jam. Turn that shit up, play it again, that's the joint, that's the jam. Turn that shit up, play it again, that's the joint, that's the jam. Turn that shit up, play it again.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey, everybody. You remember when hip-hop was full of dope MCs, fly DJs, and human beatboxes? We do, too. My name's Jamie Robinson, and people call me Mr. Throwback Thursday. And along with my co-host, Bill Winters, we take you back to that better time. So come join us every Throwback Thursday for some classic hip-hop discussion, a few tunes, and check in on some people you thought weren't even out there anymore. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and always at our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMrTBT, or just search for Mr. Throwback Thursday. We're the only one out there. And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, a proud member of the High Voltage Radio Network. HighVoltageRadio.com is where you can find one of the widest selection of podcasts on the internet, including the Kings of Sport. But as well, you can hear shows like the Pittsburgh Nerd Show, Mad Mock, and of course, frenemies of the program, Bill and Jamie on Mr. Throwback Thursday. They mentioned you a couple episodes ago, Marcus. Did you have a chance to hear that?
No, what did they say?
Oh, man. They were talking about great beefs in rap history because this was coming off of the Drake Meek Mill beef, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned Jay-Z versus Nas. And they were like, Ether is probably the greatest diss track in the history of hip-hop, regardless of what Marcus Vandenberg wants you to believe, saying that Ether was overrated.
Yeah, well, you know. If they came on the show, come on our show. Say it to my face. That's all I got to say.
Hit him with Chris Russo. Say it to my face.
You know where to find me.
And if you want to find Mr. Throwback Thursday as well as the other podcasts in the High Voltage Radio Network family, head on over to highvoltageradio.com. Again, that is highvoltageradio.com. And now it is time for the segment you guys wait for each and every week. It's segment 4, our repository of ratchetness, where we take some of the crazy stories out there in the world of sports and entertainment and pop culture in general, and we give you our take on it. And this week, Marcus, we have no shortage of stories. So I think where we're going to start is with a story that we talked about a couple months ago, and now it appears to have come to a conclusion.
Yeah, the story is a wrap. No pun intended there.
A delicious fresh wrap with avocado.
Not touching it either. Jared Fogel, a.k.a. the Subway Pitchman, pleaded guilty to child pornography charges and as part of a plea deal. So he's now looking, I think, up to 50 years in jail, but it looks like it'll be a lot less than that. Unless the judge decides to just say fuck it and you serve the rest of your life in jail. But we got some details, unfortunately, of what exactly this man was doing on his free time when he wasn't eating sandwiches.
Now, before you go into the details, Marcus, let's refresh the listener's memory, because when this story first broke, you and I were like, you know, let's get a man his due diligence. You know, you're innocent until proven guilty in this country. And if these allegations against Jared are false, then, you know, it sucks. And now we have the full details, Marcus. And I think, innocent until proven guilty, this man is guilty.
Yeah, I mean, some of these details are hard to stomach. So I'm only going to touch over some of the bigger stuff. Jared was having underage sex with prostitutes, including one that was 17 in New York. And he even asked that prostitute to find him younger girls. And he said, quote, the younger the girl, the better. So that was going on. We touched on our the initial arrest back in April was because the child pornography was found, and that was on a computer that Jared had. So we got to factor that in. But the most disturbing act that I read was between Jared and Russell Taylor, who was the former head of the Jared Foundation. And it sounds like Russell Taylor was the guy who ended up flipping on Jared to get a deal. But Taylor has children, and in his household set up multiple hidden cameras inside clock radios to capture his children ages 9 to 16, changing clothes, showering, and bathing. And he would exchange these photos with Jared via text message. So, yeah.
And Marcus, you know, a lot of times I don't go and speak for the show as a whole, because it is a partnership, a team, if you will. But I feel fully comfortable in stating on the record officially that the Kings of Sport position on Jared Fogle, the Subway guy, is he's a horrible human being and a walking piece of scum.
Yes.
So to put it bluntly, fuck that guy. But yeah. Not literally, but hopefully somebody in jail does. Looking at you, D-Block. Do your job.
Yeah, I have many questions, and I mean, just to prove that this dude wasn't right, even after the initial bust in April, as recently as June, he tried to solicit underage sex. So he just wasn't going to get the hint. He I don't know if it's a disease, a sickness, he's just perverted or what, but something ain't right with this man.
Yeah, now here's the thing, Marcus, because this very well could be a sickness, but I hope in jail he not only gets the help he needs, but he also gets some pretty big dudes that inflict on him the same type of trauma he inflicted on these children. Like, it can be both. Like, you can want him to be rehabilitated, but also want him to get some of that comeuppance that he so richly deserves.
How much do you think this has to do with, I mean, this dude was 400 and something pounds, probably not getting any woman at all.
And apparently, didn't he run a ring of, like, a porno ring out of his dorm room in college? Like, that's one of the things that was reported?
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, like apparently he had a stockpile of pornographic videotapes, which I guess you would have, not only being a red-blooded American male, but particularly, as you mentioned, being a 400-pound dude who wears glasses. He had a library of tapes and was basically renting these tapes out to the people in his dorm. Nope. And making some cash on the side.
Hmm.
So, yeah, like it's a very sad case, I think, would probably be my emotion when I first heard this latest news. It was like, man, like, I was actually hoping, you know, back to when we first discussed the story, that it was just a matter of him falling in with the wrong crowd and trusting the wrong people in his foundation. But it turns out, like, this is just a sick individual, and it has a lot of parallels, Marcus, if you think about it, with the Jerry Sandusky stuff with Penn State.
Yeah.
In terms of using a foundation that's mission is to help kids to kind of prey on these kids.
Yeah, I mean the whole foundation, who knows, it might have been all set up just as a ploy to attract underage women. We don't know. So in the child pornography, girls and boys. So there's a lot going on there.
And his wife has left him.
Yep.
Which she should.
And she should get her half to.
She getting all of them delicious Sun chips in Subway.
Yeah.
But man, it's
Like and I said, he has kids on top of that.
Yeah, that to me was the saddest part about this, because, like, I would hope that he would not mess with his own kids, but, you know, when you've got somebody with a sickness like this, somebody with a mind as twisted as this, and being in a place like that, you never know. Like, yeah. Like if you're out soliciting children, then nothing is off the table once you get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, sad to say, it's easy access. They're in his house. So, I mean, I saw their ages here. Where, let me find it. I think they're young. I think under six or so. Oh, here we go. The father of two children younger than five. So Damn. That's pretty young.
And this story, like, it, I went from being sad to being angry because, you know, just stuff that I've gone through in my own life. And you can go back and check out episode 7 if you want the full story on that. But it's like the trauma for these kids isn't just what happened when they was with Jared, but it's stuff that they're going to have to deal with for their whole lives. And it's like, man, how many lives is this dude screwed up because he was an asshole?
Yeah, part of his plea agreement, he's paying back. Let me find it. I think reparations to,
like, really, they should,
at least a dozen. At least a dozen.
Whatever his wife doesn't get, they should get the rest. Like, he shouldn't have a damn penny when he comes out of jail.
Here we go. As part of Frodo's plea agreement, which has not been formally submitted, he will pay each of his 14 victims $100,000, which prosecutors said is among the largest restitution orders nationally in a child pornography case. It's not enough for me. That doesn't seem like enough. But
no, I mean, basically, that's a Band-Aid, you know, and yeah. it is nice that they're getting something, because a lot of victims
get nothing.
But at the same time, it's like, man, as much money as this dude made off of sandwiches, like I said, man, his wife should get half, and then the other half should be split up to all the kids.
Yeah, and if I'm Subway, who has now divorced themselves, obviously, of Jared, I would personally, if I was the head of Subway, at least match whatever he's obligated to chip in. Because they didn't know at the time, but I mean, they profited from this man.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's not their fault that they didn't know his past, but, you know, they have the money to.
Well, not just his past, but he was still doing this. He was actively. Yeah. Still doing this, even like you said, you know, even up until recently. And it's like, man, this, you like, I'd like to say you got to know who you're dealing with. But, man, when you deal with somebody who is as twisted as Jared Fogle appears to be, those type of people can be very good at hiding the messed up stuff within them.
Yeah, I mean, assuming he even found a way to hide this from his wife. So if his wife wasn't aware, then it's, you know, I don't expect Subway to somehow stumble across this.
Yeah, and actually, Marcus, I'm going to take a step back. Maybe I was a bit too harsh on Jared. I think that his wife should get half. The victim should get a majority of it. But I think they should leave Jared $5 so when he gets in jail, he can at least get another type of footlong than the type of footlong he's about to get.
Oof.
Question, Marcus. Is it morally wrong that I am openly rooting for this man to be violated in the way that he violated these kids? Because, and that's it. I mean, he's still a victim if it happens. I mean, it's going to happen. Unless they keep him out of the general population.
They have to.
Yeah, you'd have to. But, I mean, is it wrong that I'm openly hoping that this man is violated?
I'm going to say yes, because I think we might discover at some point that maybe something along his childhood was partially
maybe he was violated,
yeah,
and that and began the cycle.
Maybe that began the cycle. And I, you know, we might not know because he's going away to prison, but whenever he gets out, or if he finds a way to communicate, which he probably shouldn't anytime soon, any message, I have a feeling that might come up. So I'm gonna say I'm not going to actively root for that to happen. But if you believe prison lore and you watch shows like Oz and what's my show on MSNBC?
The Lockup.
Yep. So, yeah, I think you'll be in isolation for
like,
sure.
That should tell you something like murderers and rapists and you know things like that. They even look down on the child rape, child molesters.
Yeah, they have a code.
Like, yeah, it's like, no, we're screwed up, but you done gone too damn far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're right, Marcus. Maybe I'm not openly rooting for Jared to be violated in jail, but if something happens, I can't say that I'm going to be too broken up about it.
Yeah, that's fair.
that's as far as I'll go. And I guess the real question, Marcus, off of this is, will you continue to eat at Subway if you eat at Subway at all?
I haven't had Subway since the initial arrest in April.
And that was out of protest?
Not out of protest, just out of like, ew. Like, just, first of all, Subway's not very good. Subway is like a last resort. I want a sandwich and there's nothing else around options. So,
It's like the McDonald's of sub places.
It is. So not high on my list, you know. Used to work across from a Subway, so it's convenient on nights when I didn't have anything else to eat, but I don't know. Maybe I don't know if I'll go back. It just feels. I wonder if business has taken a hit since the initial investigation in April.
I'm sure it has. Maybe not a significant amount, but I'm sure they've seen at least a little bit of a dip. And it's funny because I've got a Subway like right around the corner, and I'll go there like if I'm pressed for time or if I, you know, just can't get around to like a better sandwich shop, and mm-hmm. It's like yeah, Subway's here. But I don't know if this is going to make me eat at Subway less, but I will tell you what, Marcus, and maybe it's because of the setting. Like if I get a sandwich at Subway, it's cool, you know, it's food. But if I am at a meeting or something and they got like the Subway party planner,
mm-hmm.
for some reason those subs always taste better than the ones I pay for. maybe that's it.
Yeah, maybe they're just because they're sitting in their juices, they're nice and marinated. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It's either something's different with the sandwich or it's just the fact that it's a free sandwich.
Maybe it's free. Yeah, maybe that's it.
That's you cannot beat a free sandwich. Oh, so that's topic number one, Jared Fogle and his sick ass. I think this is the segment I've never cussed as much in a segment.
Nah, you're fired up.
Yeah, you know, thanks a lot, Jared. But here's another topic, our second topic in segment four, Marcus, that will, I'm sure, inspire some interesting conversation. And that is the curious case of Sean King. No, not that Sean King. Because, full disclosure, when I first started seeing people tweet about this the past couple of days, I was like, why are so many people interested in Sean King? Like, what's going on with Sean King?
Because he works for Yahoo Sports. That's why they're interested in Sean King.
Then I pull up the picture, and it's a white man. But let me tell you, Marcus, before we get into this story, if we were better at our jobs that we're not paid for here on this podcast,
mm-hmm.
we would have built this whole thing up as an exclusive interview with Sean King and then got football Sean King on to talk for like 30 minutes. That would have been brilliant.
Could have done it if you'd have told me.
Oh, damn. Can we just stop this show right now and restart re-recording?
Yeah, too late. It's already Thursday.
Get Sean King on the phone. How is he anyway? I haven't seen a lot of his work. Is he pretty good?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's out of opinion.
Okay.
He's never shy about letting you know what you think about football, so he's good.
Okay, well maybe if he has some time when the season starts, we can get him on.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that'll be a good compromise when all this other stuff has died down. But anyway, that's enough talk about Tulane's own Sean King. What's going on with the other Sean King, Marcus, that has sent the social media world ablaze?
Sean King is a quote unquote leading voice in the Black Lives Matter movement. He's someone who I noticed on my Twitter timeline around Ferguson last year, and didn't know who he was, where he came from, why people were tweeting him. Didn't really care to find out who he was, why people cared about him, until this week when a report in the website, is it Breitbart.com?
Breitbart.
Breitbart.com. Put out this whole expose about Sean King, claiming that he was indeed white. And Sean King has identified himself as biracial up to this point. He said he has a white mom and a light-skinned black father. And this report dug up King's birth certificate from Kentucky, where it listed King's father as Caucasian. And after the Rachel Dolezal incident earlier this year, this, of course, got people into a frenzy. And unfortunately, it looks like it might be a little bit more complicated than it appears at first. Sean, unfortunately, had to basically write this whole essay. Sort of explaining
it was an essay. It was like 30 points on Twitter.
Yeah, and it was long. Basically, the gist of it was, you know, he never, you know, said what he wasn't. He said he's biracial. The man who's listed on his birth certificate is not actually his father, from what I took from what he said. So there's some confusion there. Somehow Don Lemon got involved in this, because that's what Don Lemon does.
Why not?
he.
I mean, who else to better talk about a white black man than a quote unquote? Let's go the other way around. Who better to talk about a quote unquote black white man than a quote unquote white black man, brother Don Lemon?
Yeah, Don was like texting Sean King about this and asked him straight up if he was black or white. Lemon said initially did not answer, but later referred to himself as biracial. But then when I asked him if that's what it shows on his birth certificate, I did not hear back from him. No answer on that. So this happened the day before his statement that he put out. So it seems like there is some confusion. He does indeed have a black father that he doesn't know, it seems like. But, I mean, the fact that we even have this discussion about race and people claiming to be African-American, it's just... Really, this is what we're discussing in 2015?
Yeah, and this, to me, when I first saw this stuff, like I said, the first thing I thought about was, what the hell is going on with the Sean King, the former quarterback? Because, you know, I'm deeply in tuned in the world of what's going on with my black quarterbacks.
Yes.
Even Geno Smith, because black quarterback lives matter. But when I started reading this, at first I was like, oh, man, is this another Rachel Dolezal incident? But then the more you get into the players in this, particularly Breitbart, it's like, I don't know what to believe, because they obviously have an agenda in discrediting this guy because they are opposed to the Black Lives Matter movement. And so it becomes a case of, I don't know Sean King from Adam, so I don't know how credible he is or how honest he is, but I also know that Breitbart has an agenda. And so it's like, man, who do I believe in this situation? And the more I kind of dig and read about this, I tend to believe Sean King.
Yeah, here's the draft where he discusses it. The reports about my race, about my past, and about the pain I've endured are all lies. My mother is a senior citizen. I refuse to speak in detail about the nature of my mother's past or her sexual partners, and I am gravely embarrassed to even be saying this now, but I have been told for most of my life that the white man on my birth certificate is not my biological father, and that my biological father is a light-skinned black man. My mother and I have discussed her affair. She was a young woman in a bad relationship, and I have no judgment. This has been my lived reality for nearly 30 of my 35 years on Earth. I am not ashamed of it or of who I am, never that, but I was advised by my pastor nearly 20 years ago that this was not a mess of my doing, and it was not my responsibility to fix it. All of my siblings and I have different parents. I'm actually not even sure how many siblings I have. So yeah, this seems very complex and very detailed, and you know, some bad journalism, to be honest.
Yeah, and it feels very reminiscent of the whole birther thing with President Obama.
Yep.
Where it's like, yes, the actual truth is different than most people's experience, or let's just say different than most people in the mainstream's experience. But that does not mean that what this man is telling you is not true. And, you know, once I finally started reading and seeing all this stuff that Sean King and people that were on his side were posting, it's like, yeah, this makes complete and total sense. You know, it's not unheard of for the biological father to not be on the birth certificate.
Yeah.
You know, it's not unheard of for families to be kind of a hodgepodge of different fathers or different kids from different fathers. And so to say that, oh, you know, this man is not black and this discredits everything that he said and done, struck me as funny, because this is not a Rachel Dolezal situation, even though people are trying to cast it in that light, no pun intended, because I never got the sense, just from reading stuff about him and what he's been doing with his life, that this was somebody that was posing as someone that they weren't. Whereas with Rachel Dolezal, once you started to peel back the layers, it's like, oh yeah, this whole thing is fabricated.
Yeah.
So what, in your opinion, do you think that this thing actually has legs and people actually get to the bottom of this? Or was this kind of one of those gotcha things the media likes to do? And when, you know, when it comes time for people that reported on this to say, you know what, our bad, then you're not going to get it. You know, and if you do get it, it'll be a really quiet my bad, which is going to be less loud than the screams of he's white, he's white, he's white.
No, the reporter is sticking by his story, so I don't think we're getting a my bad anytime soon or an apology. Unfortunately, I mean, when it comes to these conservative news outlets, you really have to take what they say for a grain of salt, because, as you mentioned, there is an agenda. And in this case, it definitely seems like there's an agenda against Sean King, who, I mean, to be honest, was a guy that I didn't really think he had that much pull in the big picture. The enough pull for a reporter to go out and do this investigation on him.
No, me neither, but I do think there is something to be said for the fact that, and this is a conversation that has been had on plenty of political shows in the last couple of weeks, where Occupy Wall Street seem to be a movement that just ran out of steam. This Black Lives Matter thing isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Especially if the police continue to do what some of them are doing. So maybe one of the ways to knock some of the steam out of the movement is to discredit people that are associated with the movement.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, but I will say, Marcus, though, there was one positive thing out of this. Maybe the greatest straight out of blank meme ever.
What was it?
And that was your man Sean King just looking at the camera with, I don't know where they got the picture from, but it was like a confused look on Brother King's face, and it was straight out of Melanin.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Well done, Twitter. You never disappoint me. Oh, but I think this last story, Marcus, the third and final story in segment four, is not going to disappoint either.
Not at all.
We'll stay.
Well, it disappoints me, but I'll continue. I'll get to
okay.
That point.
Well, let's stay in the political realm and talk about a certain candidate that has gained some steam in the polls, if you will.
Yeah, actually, we need to play that clip of the news media introducing our new candidate.
A man from Iowa named Deez Nuts has just decided to run for president because America. Deez Nuts is the man's legal name.
These nuts. Got him. Got him.
I don't think it's that ridiculous to see these nuts running for office, considering Donald Trump is also running for the presidency, even after word-vomiting racial slurs on the campaign trail. Nuts filed his paperwork with the Federal Election Commission on Sunday and has decided to run as an independent rather than under a traditional label of Democrat or Republican.
So, as you heard, also running for president next year. The New York Times refers to him as Mr. Nuts. I like to call him D's. You might know him as D's Nuts.
Got him!
Got him. A 15-year-old kid from Iowa decided to fill out the proper paperwork and submit it. And that resulted in an actual poll that was done involving for the presidential race in North Carolina that featured Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and D's Nuts as an independent. 9% of the people were supporting D's Nuts.
Hey, I mean, what can you say? People respect the candidate with balls.
They do. And some would say, well, Hillary has no balls, and Donald, we don't know.
Oh, yeah. This is just, again, there's something about these nuts that no matter how old I get, it's always going to make me chuckle. It's never not going to be funny. Like, one of the greatest clips on YouTube that always makes me smile is the People's Court.
Yep.
These nuts clip. When it's like, D's wouldn't give me the money. Who is D's, sir?
D's Nuts.
D's Nuts. And you can just see the guy just setting it up. It's like the Roman Reigns Superman punch. He's got it cocked and ready to throw it. No pun intended with the cocked. He's like, D's Nuts. So I'm always a sucker for, well, pause.
Yeah, you're a sucker for D's Nuts? Yeah, well. That's all right. I'm not judging you.
I actually got lightheaded over that one. Oh, lightheaded. That's another one. Like this segment is replete with entendres. You ever watch Harvey Birdman?
No.
It was a great cartoon. And basically the whole thing was Harvey Birdman from the Birdman cartoon retired from being a superhero, and he was a lawyer. And all of the villains and heroes were kind of part of his day-to-day life. And Stephen Colbert played his boss.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always saying something inappropriate. And it, like, his go-to catchphrase was, ha! Multiple entendres. So that's, I feel this segment has veered into multiple entendres territory. But you mentioned you had an issue with Mr. D's. What was your issue with D's Nuts?
Not so much with Mr. Nuts, but just the... the 9%. Well, listen, I'm gonna take that back because I'd probably vote D's Nuts as for shits and diddles. But the news stations who sort of, I mean, it's a news story sorta, but you know, the fact that we've had multiple news announcers, as you heard off the top earlier in the show, saying D's Nuts on television, like you're just walking right into the joke.
How can you do that with a straight face?
That is impressive. I couldn't do it.
No. Like,
well, maybe because I couldn't do it because I know the joke. Maybe people who've never heard of D's Nuts before can do it because they don't get it. They just see D's Nuts and...
I'm sorry. I'm about to sound like Jerry Seinfeld. It's like, who are these people? Like, who in 2015, under the age of 75, has not heard of D's Nuts joke?
I'm sure there's a lot of people who haven't heard D's Nuts joke.
I think most of the country knows about these nuts, Marcus.
Well, yours nuts? I mean, not these nuts.
But yeah, like, I could not, like, I am a professional broadcaster by trade. If I had to read that on the air, I couldn't keep a straight face. Like, if there's a football player named D's Nuts at one of these high school games, and I had to call, like, that's a 10-yard run by D's Nuts, I couldn't get through the sentence. D's Nuts really working up the middle.
Yeah.
But yeah, these people are funny because it's like, oh man, it's a brilliant, it's a simple and stupid yet brilliant joke. Like the kid that came up with this, which is kind of the big M. Night Shyamalan plot twist at the end of the story.
Yeah, I mean, this kid is from a little town in Iowa. He's 15. He's a farm boy. And he's going back to high school next week. And you already know he's going to be the most popular kid in high school.
Yeah, I mean, he is a hero. Like, if there is a D's Nuts Hall of Fame, obviously your man Got Him is in the Hall of Fame. Your man from the Price, not the Price Right, the People's Court is in the D's Nuts Hall of Fame. And now this 15-year-old kid has earned his rightful place in the D's Nuts Hall of Fame.
Here's the funny part. This kid wasn't even born when the Dre song came out in 92.
Oh, Mark, D's Nuts are timeless.
He was in his father's nuts at that time. He was just a...
He was in Doe's Nuts.
He was in Doe's Nuts, not D's Nuts. So Dr. Dre, get on you for your legacy carrying on past this new Compton album.
I was going to say, that's almost as impressive as the money straight out of Compton's made.
Yeah.
Which is still astronomical. And I think next week, Marcus, we're going to try to hook up with your fellow Yahoo compatriot, Brian Mann, and talk about, I almost said talk about D's Nuts. Talk about Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, we're not going to speak to Brian about his nuts. At least I don't think so.
That's probably the worst thing that ever happened to the D's Nuts joke, though, is like CDs was a wonderful setup, and now nobody uses CDs anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that you just took a great setup away from me. But, so here's the thing, Marcus. If there were an actual legitimate candidate, like let's say you've got Trump and you've got Hillary, let's say there was an actual politician who had credentials. Let's say, who's your man? What's the guy that got bum-rushed by the two Black Lives Matter girls? The Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, let's say Bernie Sanders didn't get the Democratic nomination. And he's like, you know what? I still want to run for this country. But let's just say instead of Bernie Sanders, his name was Congressman D's Nuts. Do you think he would get higher or lower than 10% in a national election?
If it was actually Bernie Sanders, but his name was just D's Nuts?
Right. Everything's the same about Bernie, but his name is just Senator D's Nuts.
Well, considering the fate D's Nuts is already pulling 9% in states like North Carolina, I'm doing over.
Are you saying, you know, D's Nuts is getting 9%? He doesn't even have a platform.
Yeah. By the way, Bernie Sanders, I didn't realize he's 73. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think that to me is more than anything else is going to hinder him. It's like, yeah, ain't nobody voting for you, old man.
Yeah, he's damn, he's old.
I bet you he's heard of D's Nuts though.
I would hope so.
Like, Hillary, have you seen my CD collection? CDs, CDs nuts, Hillary. CDs nuts, like. Well played, Bernie. But yeah, that I agree, Marcus. I think just on the joke alone, and can you imagine like the campaign commercials? Like, I get tired of political ads every 4 years, but I don't think I could ever get tired of the ads that would come from Senator D's Nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Senator D's Nuts, and I approve this message.
By the way, Hillary Clinton now much younger. She's 67.
Damn.
So you figure 68. She turned 68 a week before the election.
Yeah.
So she does 4 years. She's 72.
Damn. How old is President Obama?
Obama is, let me check. I think he's only in his 50s.
I was going to say, I think. Because he's still really young, even though he's
no play for Mr. Gray. He's only 54.
Okay, yeah.
So he was in his 40s
Yeah, I want to say he was in his mid-40s when he first got elected. But that office, you could tell, man, dealing with Congress, he's he needs that touch of gray that just for men so he can blend it in a little bit better.
No play for Mr. Gray.
That's what the Congress said when they vetoed his bills. Yeah. Like, rejected. Like old Clyde Frazier.
Clyde.
It's been a crazy week, Marcus, and segment four was reflective of that. Started off with some sad news and ended up with some pretty funny stories. Well, one funny story. I don't know how funny the Sean King story was, but these nuts were definitely entertaining.
Everyone can agree on that.
Yes. Every,
white, every, black,
everyone mixed, can get behind these nuts.
Mitz nuts. White nuts.
I'm surprised nobody's ever started a show called These Nuts.
Are you sure?
Let me check right now. Let me Google this and see if
These Nuts Podcast. Up, oh, Stitcher.
These Nuts.
The podcast.
The podcast with Garrett Ritchie.
Yep.
These Nuts. Okay, so shout out to you, Garrett Ritchie. I have no idea who Garrett Ritchie is, but anybody that can put These Nuts on a podcast,
he's okay with me.
Yeah, you're good in my book. So, speaking of good in our book, Marcus, where can the good people out there in podcast land hit you up? Speaking of podcast land, by the time this comes out, you'll probably have a week or so left, maybe less than a week, to vote for Podcast of the Month. And we are currently top five in comedy, top five in sports, and still top five overall on Podcast Land. So head on over to podcastland.com and vote for your favorite podcast, The Kings of Sport. And while you're on the internet voting for us on Podcast Land, you can also check out Marcus Vandenberg and send him your favorite D's Nuts jokes or talk about your favorite fictional video game football player. And where can they do that?
You can be up on Twitter and Instagram at MarcoWill, MarcoWill.
You can follow me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. I do have an Instagram that I post things to like once a month, and you can find that at Black_Nate, BLAQUE _ in the number 8, because I like to make things fancy.
And difficult.
Hey, these nuts was taken, so I had to figure out something else. you can follow the show, CosPod, KOS_POD, CosPod on Twitter, and hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/ The Kings of Sport. As always, you can find the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Like, rate, review, and share the show with your friends. I think that's going to do it for this week, Marcus.
I think that's it. It's time for Disneyland, people.
So that's where you're going to be, Disneyland and SummerSlam. That's your weekend.
Disneyland, Angels, Blue Jays, straight out of Compton, SummerSlam. That is the wide variety of G to Reddit R entertainment.
I'll say that's a veritable mosaic, a cornucopia of entertainment choices.
Yes, wide variety.
So Marcus will be off doing that. I'll be off podcasting and just barely working under overtime at my 9-to-5. And then we'll, much like Voltron, we'll join forces again next week for an all-new episode of the World's Most Dangerous Podcast, The Kings of Sport.
With Brian Mann.
Yes, Brian Mann. We're looking to have in the house next week to talk about Straight Outta Compton as well as give his thoughts on SummerSlam. We'll definitely have more NFL news to go over in Second Down. And who knows what else we'll have on this show. Maybe we'll talk about our CD collections.
Ooh, I got a bunch of CDs.
CDs nuts!
Oh, I didn't even mean to fall into that one.
It's not hard to fall into these nuts. this segment for at least the D's Nuts portion, I'm already calling the people, is going on the best of.
Yep, get ready.
Get ready for these nuts. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. I'm all out of these nuts jokes, so there you go. Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X. Sharp as a tack, like I just left.